Hello, everybody. This is Adam Shartoff, your host of Film Wax Radio, and you're listening to episode number 456 of the podcast. My guest today is Zephry Thrawell, who is a friend. He originally came on the podcast, I think it's episode number 406, 50 episodes back, when I was at Tribeca Film Festival, I guess this past spring, and I met Zephry because he co-directed this crazy hybrid documentary called Flames with my friend Josephine Decker. They were on together, and now Zephry's back one-on-one here. You can go to his website, which is zephry.com, that's Z-E-F-R-E-Y.com, and you can explore all that he does, all the work he does. He's a terribly, terribly talented young man of making, shall we say, confrontational films? It's in the great tradition, I would say. Films that challenge you, that I can say. And it was a delight to get to know him over the past year and now to call him a friend. And so we recorded this in Brooklyn back a number of months ago. And it's taken me quite a while to finally put up this episode, but I'm happy to do so. This one's for you, Zephry. And we'll just skip the outro today, folks. So we will be back in a few days with a brand new episode of the podcast. I think actor-filmmaker Mark Weber will be on the next episode, among other people. So do continue to tune in. All right, we'll see you soon. This is me and Zephry Thrawell here on Film Wax Radio. Oh, right. It's the vehicle for the coffee is also very appealing, as well as the actual beverage.
I think it's
very
small amount of Irish heritage inside that really makes this moment.
Tis.
I.
What was the guy that wrote that book, Tis, that, you know, he taught at Stuyvesant? He's a poet. Frank McCourt. So one day,
but he did Angela's Ashes first, right?
Oh, right, yes. So, and his brother was also, his name was like McLaren McCourt. You know, he couldn't have had a more Irish sounding. No, it was an incredibly Irish, like.
I heard he was just an Englishman with an attitude.
I saw him a couple of times, but one time I was on a bus and, you know, going down Third Avenue, because I lived at Third Avenue, 15th Street in the city for many years. And one day I was taking a bus probably from work at Sony and, or Lexington, or one or the other. Anyway, and then the bus stopped at the intersection, and the walker right in front was Frank McCourt. And his book had just recently been at the top of the bestseller list, you know.
It was stellar.
Twas. Indeed. I just watched a Canadian film, but, you know, for some reason, everybody in these Canadian films at the time had Scottish accents. I guess there were a lot of Scottish, what would you call them, transplants?
You know, that's like starting a conversation talking about America and then being like, my friend's Mexican.
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's quite the same. I know, in other words, you're saying that it's apples and oranges, Irish and Scottish.
Well, I mean, I didn't
so that was your point?
Aye.
Well, in proximity-wise, they're pretty close, you know, and then you can just, what's that other?
You know, a good friend of mine's from Canada.
Wales. Well, I was just curious because I was thinking about accents more than anything else. And
Ireland's
reminded,
its own country, though.
I know. Scotland is part of the British Isles. Is that your point?
It is, well, maybe for, who knows, right? Long, where are you going?
I don't want to slurp on my show.
No slurping on this show.
It makes me, yeah, that's not pleasant for me.
Some people are really into that, though.
So it was a really cool movie, though. I really enjoyed
What's
it.
The movie?
I had not been familiar with it. It was called Wedding in White, and it's actually coincidentally I found it on Fandor, and then it was also on just coincidentally on Mubi, which is, you know, Mubi rotates their movies every day. You know, there's a new movie every and it's
John
weird.
Schlesinger up big right now.
Yeah, they're doing several of those great, you know, kitchen sink dramas from the you know, or Angry Young Men.
Billy Liar,
all those great movies. Or The British New Wave, it was also called. then Film Forum just recently did a whole retrospective of those films with, you know, from all those filmmakers from that period. I really wish to have gotten there.
I think the Loneliness of a Long Distance Runner, one of my faves.
It's a great one. And Saturday Night and Sunday Morning is great.
Yeah. I mean, but let's really talk about what's going on in New York, and that the Quad is dedicating itself essentially all July to Barbra Streisand.
It is?
Yes.
Shouldn't it have been June?
Well. Ah, you're a funny girl.
Hey, that's a good reference. That, where was she played Fanny Bryce, that one?
Oh, no, she was nuts.
Come on.
Ay, gentle.
I watched, what was the Bogdanovich one she did with Ryan O'Neill, where he's kind of a nerd? And it's like a screwball comedy from the 40s, only it's updated to the 70s, you know.
Annie Hall.
That's not a screwball comedy. No. Let's not go back into the Woody Allen defender mode. you remember?
Oh, nobody wants to be there. Everybody's like, love well, the movies. Are. Good. Write me in a couple years.
Zephyr Thrawell is a Woody Allen defender, closeted defender of Woody Allen.
I'm actually a public defender of his movies.
Of course.
Do I want to sleep with the man, or would I let my child anywhere near him? No.
It's harder for me to draw a complete distinction between the man and the artist, but I will say right before, it's interesting, I don't know if it's a coincidence or what, but the part of the career that I'm interested in ended right before that whole transition, you know, out of the relationship with Mia Farrow and all that. And it's interesting because my favorite of all Woody Allen movies, probably just by a smidge, because I love Annie Hall in Manhattan and a number of the early comedies as well. But I love Crimes and Misdemeanors and Martin Balsam. Oh, no, not Martin Balsam. Martin Landau. The great Martin Landau just passed away 2 days ago or something. Sad.
You always struck me as a What's Up, Tiger Lily kind of guy.
I like that one. But that's a real outlier, that movie, right? That's the one that's completely dubbed, right?
Uber dub.
Yeah. And it's in search of a stolen chicken salad recipe or something like that. That's the premise of the movie, isn't it? What's Up, Tiger Lily?
Sure.
Have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
So you are you're a completist or purist. Have you seen every movie of his?
No, definitely not. Mm. I mean, there's some in the mid-90s that I dropped out of. Some in the...
Yeah.
In the,
it's a good place to drop out.
Yeah. In the late 2000s here, mm-hmm. I'm not keeping up. I never saw the one where he's blind.
Yeah, terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot.
John Turturro's in that too, I think.
Is he?
Yeah, and I think so, and I was like, well, I didn't see it, I don't know.
And then because we're just kind of warming up, so free association is the name of the game here.
Ted Bundy, Switzerland, Glockenspiel.
That is a good example of free association, if ever there was any. No, I went to the other night down to Coney Island with my friend Susie, and we went to see a movie on the beach. It wasn't Rooftop Films. I wouldn't be surprised if they supplied the equipment, but I'm not sure they did. But it's run by the city and by the Coney Island whatever organization,
the Islanders
Alliance or what have you. And it was really, really great. They showed Landline, which directed by Gillian Robespierre.
New one, right?
Yeah, she did The Obvious
Jenny
Child.
Slate?
Yes,
and
she. And Edie Falco as her mother.
Is it good?
John Turturro as her father. I will say that I'm hearing some uninvited guest. So shall we bring on
Craig?
Craig Clarkson? Is it Clark?
Kelly Clarkson's younger brother.
Kelly Clarkson's younger brother. He's got the voice.
If you hear something, it's Craig Clark. Chips, the cat.
Chips? What do you mean Chips? What's that?
That's his last name. Clark Chips.
Clark Chips.
Triple C.
You asked me what I thought of Landline. It's a bit conventional, I'll have to say.
Really?
As much as Jenny Slate tries to invoke, you know, there's no shock value to it. And that's to her credit almost, because then that might have felt contrived in a way. but it was interesting because there's a lot of frank sexual just talk, and there's a couple of scenes, and yet, you know, you'd think that people would have read a little bit about the film, but there were families that would bring their kids. It's so inappropriate. Like, I'm like, are you serious? I mean, it's a free movie on the beach, you know, and it's a fun way to get out of the hot apartment.
How do you think
kids got here? No, too young. Some kids, and the language, you know. So by midway through the movie, there all the parents were gone, all the kids were gone. I'm like, next week they're showing Finding Dory or whatever it is, the sequel to Finding Nemo. Okay, that's, you know, it's odd.
And all the adults will leave.
Exactly. I've gone to, as a parent, many.
I love sex. You know, when yes. I see sex on the screen, think I'm Stan.
But do you ever find it? I like it too, and when it's done well, it's among my
you mean pornography
top favorites. Yeah, no, I'm not a big fan of that, but I don't look at that
as
sexual.
Do you ever watch pornography?
Sure, of course. I'm 15 years old. What do you mean, have I watched pornography?
I don't know, some people haven't.
I was shocked to find that it's free on the internet.
Oh my god, what a treasure trove.
Yeah, that you can just type in a mere two or three words and have a cornucopia of the most unbelievable pornographic, yeah, just hours of fun.
No film school did an interview with me and Josephine where they asked if our film was, where they asked if our film was pornography or not.
Hmm.
And I thought, that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you know the difference between sex on the screen and pornography? There is a difference.
Is there?
Sure.
What's the diff?
If you're asking me legitimately, I would say that one has sexual content incidentally, but that the greater context is not about that. Even if it's happens throughout, it doesn't necessarily mean it's porn. Pornography, real pornography, I look at as being completely about selling sex. That's it. It's the commodity of sex. It's just a vehicle for selling sex. That's it. And that. The fact that it's often free is not just not supposed to be
for
that
the
way.
Producers, yeah,
yeah, I imagine so.
I am the best definition I heard because man, they posted.
I know
it
when I see it.
Posted it online was went ballistic with thousands of people talking about it. The comment that I read that I liked was that you don't want to masturbate to it if it's not porn.
Mm.
Right? If it is porn, then it's something that someone would masturbate to.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, that really opens it up, right? Because then you're talking like, you know, yeah. Spiegel catalogs and, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know that I agree with that interpretation, but because I think some things that are really sexy are not.
That would be pornography.
And I don't agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not my interpretation. I'm looking at a very specific thing. I made it under my breath. I referenced this quote that I don't remember now where the origin of it is, but it's I couldn't tell you exactly what it is, but I know it when I see it, and I believe that was directly referencing pornography. Yeah, but what I didn't look at yours. There is an erotic nature to a lot of the film, and we're talking, by the way, about a movie called Flames. So see that. Still in festivals.
It is.
Right? Yeah.
So it'll be streaming at the beginning of 2018.
Oh, wonderful. And what's the platform?
Can't announce it yet.
All right. Well, you can say it and I'll take it out. Or just say it off the air. Here. I'm? That licks. Prime?
Movie?
We'll keep it up. Andor, we'll keep this. No, we won't mention the platform, but it's a good one and it's a popular one. Let's put it that way. So you'll have many people will have the opportunity to stream this movie really soon, and we're gonna. What we'll do is we'll do another. When is this? Early 2018? You said we'll do another segment, maybe even with Josephine or something like that.
That'd be great.
Yeah, and we can have a reunion or another analysis session, depending on how you look at it. Thank you very much. It's been so.
And thank you, Craig Clark Chips.
That's right. It's a cameo. I'm sure there's a pun in there somewhere, but
the cat meow.
Cat meow. Cat meow. It's a cameo.
Oh, that's it. There
cameo.
It is.
Cameo. Yeah.
Patent that one. That's a good
that's,
one.
It's over.
That's excellent.
Podcast. Who needs that? We've got the cameo.
Yes. So you have one cat?
One cat.
Okay. And how old is your cat?
A cat. Passionate
Craig
cat.
Clark.
Dislike her for most of my life.
Yeah.
And then I started dating my current girlfriend, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And she turned me into a cat lover.
It's not just a... You're not just putting up with a cat. You actually love...
Love the cat.
And not only this one, but you're saying cats in general. Just you've cats grown an appreciation general. For cats.
I always considered myself more of a dog person
yeah.
when any pet was around.
Yeah.
And now I can't stand dogs.
What?
Can't stand
why them. Do why does it have to be so binary with you, Zephyr Throwell? Growing up in Juneau, Alaska in the 80s. Yeah, I said that. So you had to probably have a team of dogs. What was it? What's it called again? Don't we're doing the Iditarod.
Good work.
Is that what it's called?
It is.
Right, you have
sled
to
sled dog team.
Yeah, you probably had one of those with the Alaskan.
I had three of them actually.
Did you?
I was immensely wealthy. I just had one that I would let friends borrow.
Did you have any huskies?
Did I personally have any huskies?
At home, or did you have any dogs growing up?
I had a golden retriever.
Okay.
Dumb as a post.
That's a very American choice for a dog. Right?
It really was. Blonde and dumb.
Really?
Yeah. Super loyal.
Well, dumb and loyal.
Whoever was around.
I think, yeah. Open the car door. Sure, I'll get in. Yeah, okay. I think that's... Yeah, the kind the sweeter the dog, the more the that aggressive nature that's bred out. You call it dumber, trusting. Is good. Yeah. So like we had a you remember that puppy you saw? So we had no that dog's name was Bella. So
not Skip.
No, but my wife at the time and I we got another one of those that was red Ruby. It was a Ruby version. It was a red Cavalier. And she would just, you know, hop in the car like all the time. But she would get in anybody's car. If anybody opened the door, she'd just hop right in. So it was very scary because you had to be very careful.
I like Bella.
Yeah. Well, so, okay. So maybe you're come back to the dog fold.
I think that you're the one who's brought me back.
Oh, I'm glad to do that. And not at the expense of your love for cats.
No, I can be binary now.
Oh,
and
good.
Non-binary.
Good. Is that like partisan, non-partisan?
I'm really a Republican with a Democrat's heart and a socialist activist.
Socialist activist?
With libertarian leaning.
Yes, and a third party in mind for, I don't know.
I voted for Ross Perot 6 times.
You wouldn't have been old enough to vote for Ross Perot, were you? Was that your first election? Is that possible? That would have been George Bush Sr.
92, right?
Yes. Yes, 92, right. It was
no,
Bush Sr.
I was not old enough.
Okay. It was Bush Sr.
My first election was that I could vote in was second Clinton.
Okay. My first election was when I became of age, and maybe we're just talking presidential, but I remember when I turned old enough to vote, my first election was a mayoral election. Just happened to be that, because my birthday's in September, it was in November. And I voted for
Dinkins.
Koch. No, it was Koch still. You know, was my choice. I was a Democrat, even from the start.
Koch was a good choice.
You know, I mean...
You don't sound so happy with Koch's choice.
Yeah. In retrospect, I'm not so sure how great a mayor he was. But
you think de Blasio is going to take the cake again?
Well, it's his to lose. I mean, it's an incumbent mayor... It's very easy to get reelected. It shouldn't be so hard. So
I think everyone hates him.
A lot of people really don't like him, but I don't know. I haven't heard too many people hate him, but he's been so ineffective, you know, in so many ways. But did you read this, like this huge multi-million, I mean, it's many millions of dollars for the rat problem?
No.
You're going to key neighborhoods and they have this whole plan about what they're going to do with dry icing. The, what do they call these holes in the ground that are caused by the tunnels, you know, that
glory
the rats burrows? The burrows, I guess they're called
burrows.
Glory holes. Oh, my gosh.
Dry ice the glory
holes. We're going
holes.
Back to the porn topic.
2018 de Blasio, dry ice the glory holes.
And that next cocksucker will be very sorry he stuck his Johnson inside of that Glorio. That thing is going to break right off.
Christine Quinn, she's got nothing on me.
Christine Quinn. So it was this whole thing in the New York Times. I read about it. Just this huge amount of money they're pouring because there's, I guess, there's so much complaint. It's a 3-1-1 thing, you know, so it's a good way for a mayor to get reelected. You grapple with things like that. But the worst neighborhoods, they're no longer, there's simple things like just not letting the big buildings put their garbage out the night before anymore, but the morning of, things like that. But they finally get to use, I guess, this particular method of this dry ice, and I think it's dry ice. It was not until recently considered an allowed, whatever they call the, you know,
method
of killing rodents. Yeah, but now it's allowed. So they get stuck in there and they die. They will die.
We all will die.
They expect, well, very much sooner than
Adam. Do you have any premonitions about when you'll die?
That is a 180. No.
No?
No. Premonitions, no.
Kind of vague feelings? Could be tonight.
Why would you say that?
No, I mean, don't I'm put just me in saying. That mind.
Of course it could be. But it won't.
It won't.
I have to edit this. For one thing. I have appointments. I can't die.
That's the quote of the day. That's a real Rockefeller there.
You're right.
I don't have time to die.
Yeah. No, I'm booked through the 20s, the 2020s. I can't die until.
No, get back to me early 2030s.
Right, Grim Reaper. I've always, you know, it's interesting. I've always had a thing about my mortality, so I don't like to talk about it, but I do think about it a lot, like daily. I think about my age, how much time I have left, how little time I have. In the scheme of things, I think about this all the time, like my age compared to how long ago I was, you know, how long I've lived already and how far back everything is. Like, Jesus Christ, all that this happened when, and other people that I grew up seeing, you know, whether they're actors or whomever, and they're now in their 70s and 80s, and it just drives me crazy because when I was a fan, maybe they were in their 30s, you know, and now they're in their 70s and 80s. It's insane. I'm like, life's going to, I don't want to keep losing. Everybody's dying, you know. It's very, very scary to me. So I think about it. It's kind of, I need to think about other things, you know. But I do think about it quite a bit.
What should you think about instead of the most important thing in your life?
No, I don't think it's the most important thing. It's not the most important thing in my life. It's the most important thing after my life, at the end of it. So I need to kind of be more, I think, focused on what's taking place before that day, whether it's in tonight or
what if
in 35, 40 years. From now.
What if when we die we find out that we should have just committed suicide and gone there earlier?
Yeah, that's going to be fantastic. A bummer.
And they're like, why did you wait? Right? This is paradise over here.
This is great. Well, then am I worried that my kid is going to be sad or my friend, you know, like people, my kid's going to be sad that he lost me. So like if I knew, and how do I reach him and tell him it's cool? You know, you'll miss me for a while, but it's better this way. It's so cool here.
Spirit medium. This is all my long pitch for my spirit medium business.
Oh, this is a commercial.
Infomercial.
Are you sponsored? Right, infotainment. So you're not paying me because it's hidden as entertainment. I'm not going to mention who it is, but I had a recent guest on this show, and I brought on this guest. It was great. He was great. Guest, he was very articulate and told great stories. And then he or she, they followed up, or their office did, asking me to plug something. And they even sent me verbiage. And I'm like, this isn't, you're asking me to do a commercial, and I charge for that. So I would love to. I think this is great, and I'm willing to do it. But, you know, why don't you consider being a sponsor on the show? Never heard back.
Damn you, Bob De Niro.
No, it's like, that's right.
Meet the Fockers 10.
Wait, he hasn't done that. It seems like he's kind of trying to get a little bit, some of his films are a little bit more legit again.
I guess.
He did a lot of crap.
The Comedian? I didn't see
that. Oh, you're right. That's maybe not a good example. I have not seen it. I actually haven't seen most of his films. But he's working again with Scorsese, I guess, and Pesci and Keitel.
That makes me nervous.
Me too. It can't work.
Yeah. I just picture like just feels... on Golden Pond, but a little bit rougher.
But that was good, though. Oh, I haven't seen it in a long time. The calla lilies are in bloom again. You old coot. I can't do Henry Fonda, but I can do Katharine Hepburn, you know.
The greatest actress who ever lived.
Whoever graced the screen.
Oh, the silver screen.
That's right. Are you a fan of hers?
The calla lilies? Yes.
The calla lilies. That's from the, she walks out of the porch at the beginning. Oh, because, you know, it's taken from the play on Golden Pond. And she comes out, I think she says, no, maybe that's a different movie, but she because remember she was talks about the loons, yeah. The loons.
On the lake.
On the lake, right? The loons. Oh, George, come out here and look at the loons.
I do love her dearly.
Yes. Oh, you do? Do you have a favorite Katharine Hepburn
on
performance?
Pond.
Come on. I don't believe that for a second, you son of a bitch. No, do you have a favorite? Talking to the mic for a change. You can think on the mic.
Don't ride me on the mic.
Don't ride the mic. Do you have a favorite? Let's see. I mean, there was that Spencer Tracy phase where she was like in three or four films, Desk Set and Pat Mike and all those. She was in the Guess Who's Coming
Tiger.
To Dinner. What? The one with the tiger in it, right? With Cary Grant.
Baby. Yeah.
Bringing Up Baby. Yes. That's a good one. That's one of the screwball comedies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
It was escaping me. Sorry. Now I found it.
I think my favorite Zephyr is The African Queen.
Was it the...
With Humphrey Bogart.
Not The Winter. The Lion in Winter.
Oh, The Lion in Winter.
Yeah. She was
oh, right. That's the one... That was like an Elizabethan story, right?
Yeah.
Was she like... Saw it so many years ago.
Swathed in a... what you call it? I want to call it a bandana, but it is not a bandana. It is a headscarf.
Caftan or some sort of headdress.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just loved her in... I liked her later on. I liked her in African Queen. And then she did one with Rooster Coburn. She did one with John Wayne.
What one with Wayne?
Hmm?
What Wayne?
John Wayne. What do you mean? Which Wayne film? I think it was called Rooster Coburn or Cogburn or however you pronounce
okay.
it. And I think she's like a, what do they call it? Like a, when you proselytize and you're sent to like a, you know, bring Christianity to a
mission.
Missionary. Because I think she's a teacher in Africa. I mean, why else would she be there? And I think there's like a missionary angle. I could be wrong. People, again, call in. The number is 646-FILMWAX.
Today we're talking about Katharine Hepburn.
Today we're talking about Katharine Hepburn.
Greatest actress to have ever lived.
We have a caller.
Hi.
I had that.
I just want to know, is Audrey Hepburn and Katharine Hepburn related?
It's a coincidence, right? It's such an unusual name, and yet two of the biggest stars of their day coincided for a number of years, right? Reading...
One was a star, one was not so much.
Yeah, Audrey Hepburn wasn't really an great actress, but she was still wonderful to look at on the screen. She was a movie star, you know, with chops, you know. Yeah, Katharine Hepburn had that, an incredible career, you know. Seemed like she was going to live forever for a while there, right?
And then she didn't.
No.
Back to death.
Yes. Full circle. Like the life.
How do you want me to bury you? Do you want to be buried?
I don't want you to touch my carcass.
Would you mind if I touched you while you were dead? I mean, you're dead already.
Oh, you mean in what would you call the opposite of retrospect?
In hindsight?
No, the opposite. Foresight.
In foreskin, foresight, yes.
Foreskin. Because you're asking me a question before I die. I guess I'm not really, I don't care what you do.
Okay, great.
After I die.
You got that on tape, right?
Yeah, we're on tape.
I have to play this for your son.
Okay, I'm turning off the tape. Here we go. There we go. Now you can see anything you want. I'm going to tell you the name of this guy who tried to get a commercial on my show. Excuse me, man or woman, who he or she.
I have a new project coming up. You want to talk about that?
No. Yes, of course I do. Wait, but if it's one that I may be involved with, then I don't know.
No.
Oh, it's another one?
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Yes.
It's a new feature called Lean.
Okay. What's so funny?
Okay, next guy.
No, I'm waiting for more. So it's called Lean. You already have a title. Now, wait, is this a narrative or is this a documentary?
This one is straight narrative, just like
it's a
straight up narrative.
Straight up Paula Abdul lyric here.
Are you a big Paula Abdul fan?
I'm a fan of anybody with the name Abdul.
Here we go. Just you ready?
Yes.
Escaping treatment, a sassy bulimic girl and a brooding anorexic priest run from the law, crisscrossing the country and forgotten the land of the devil until the devil gets the better of them.
Lean, coming to a theater near you.
Just out. So that's going well. I want Billy Crudup and Miley Cyrus.
Oh, so you? Where are you at? So you have a screenplay?
Screenplay's done, ready to go. We're looking around for cast right now.
Okay. Billy Crudup, eh?
What do you think of him?
Sometimes when he does offbeat things, he's good. And then when he does these conventional films, although, I guess, wasn't he in, was he in Spotlight? I think, was he one of the, no, he wasn't in that. But he could be good.
Maybe I'm wrong, though.
It's so odd. I don't know.
He was in The New Aliens, though.
The New Aliens?
Yeah.
Was that rebooted or something?
Yeah, the new Alien movie. What is it? I forget what it was.
Okay.
He's okay.
He's really, I'm not sure what to make of him. I think, I'm on the fence. I've seen him sometimes where I've liked him.
20th Century Women, did you see that?
Yeah.
I loved him in that.
Yeah, that's a good one. That is a good example. That is a great movie. I really like that one. It was so unpredictable and offbeat and non-commercial, yet, I love movies like that. But, yeah. And it's under the radar. I think that Matt...
Mike Mills
is an under... I don't even think he's underrated. I think, he's doing exactly the right thing. And I hope he doesn't get bigger than where he's at. I think he should be doing these relatively small independent comedies or dramedies, whatever you want to call them. But you sound excited about it because... Was it based on 20th Century Women that you thought Billy Crudup would be great in Lean?
I've been keeping my eye on him for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Since he was in, was it Almost Famous? Remember?
Was he a musician in that? Like in the band?
Yeah, he was a rock star.
Because there was two. There was also, what's his name? The other actor. Ray Liotta.
Oh my God, Ray Liotta would have been great in that film.
Can you imagine?
Though.
In any film. You want to have the Ray Liotta. It's like, that's why he's still around. I was once in Queens, actually, and I was walking through Kew Gardens. In fact, just a couple of blocks from where, maybe just yards away from where Kitty Genovese was butchered 45 years earlier, however many years. And there's a shoot going on. This is in Kew Gardens, Queens. And I'm walking up the street, and I see that they're shooting it, but, they've taken a break, and there's what looks like a little old guy sitting in a leather jacket on, sitting on the stoop. It's not even a stoop. It's like literally just a step in front of somebody's apartment building over a storefront. It's like a very small little doorway. And he's sitting in the doorway, and I look, and it's Ray Liotta just sitting there with a big guy next to him, maybe his security person or whatever. But, yeah, it was very I couldn't talk to him, I didn't feel. But it was so...
Right, you didn't feel you had anything to say to Ray?
Yeah. Yeah. If I had something to say, I would have. But it was, but he also could have been trying to get into his frame of mind into his zone. Who knows?
Could have been like...
Or just taking a break,
He's like, that guy's a jerk.
But
why
he's aged.
He
was looked like a little old guy. He wasn't,
He wasn't Goodfellas?
Well, 91. Wasn't that like 91 or something? Right? So that's 35 years ago or something, right? Is that many years ago? I have the math right? 25 years ago.
Five.
Huh? 25? Yeah, 26 years ago. Is that possible?
27 maybe. I thought it was 1990.
It might have been 1990.
Anyway, so my feeling is this. Amy Fisher, you remember her?
Jodie Buttafuoco.
Tell me your feelings when I say Amy Fisher. What do you think?
Free associations. You want to put Caster in Lean?
I would love to.
Then you gotta give me a little rope. I just
have a sex scene with you and Amy Fisher.
There you go. I'm there. Call pornography if you wish. No, I would have sex with her on screen. I don't know. My associations with her, I just kind of remember her. She purportedly tried to kill Jodie Buttafuoco's wife.
Right. She shot her.
She shot her.
But she didn't die.
Right. But then she had all this nerve damage. Right. Did she shoot her?
I believe
she came up
her.
To the doorway or something.
Yeah.
Right? And then Mrs. Joey Botafugo opens the door. And then she shoots her? Is that what happened?
Well, she got in a little altercation with her first.
I thought she hit her or something like that with something. Okay. Yeah. Fucking the things that were going on back then.
They called her the Long Island Lolita. Which has got a great ring to it, doesn't it?
It sure does. So was that... Why did she come to mind?
I mean, I thought all rules were off today.
They are. I'm just kind of curious. I don't know where it came from, though. That's kind of an odd thing. Or did you actually think of her for a role or something?
I was hoping to cast her, yeah.
Why wouldn't she do it?
I have a Mother Superior character in Lean. And I would love to cast Amy Fisher.
You got to be careful because it's like kind of stunt casting. So
what do you mean stunt casting? She's an amazing actress.
Is she?
I mean, she plays herself well.
Has she done acting?
I have no idea.
But she wrote a book and she's been out and about for many years, right?
Yeah, she did her time and then now is she did some adult acting for a while.
Oh, she did?
She was very good in that.
Do you know that?
I do know that. I've seen her.
Okay.
You can as well if you look online.
Is she still in Long Island or is she in California? Do you know?
I don't know where she's at right now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a quick Google could tell us, though.
Yes. Have you found, are you anybody you're working with so far? Or are you just literally at the stage, next stage is putting together the team?
Some team assembled, mm-hmm. but then looking for cast right now. Yeah.
Okay, so
it sounds like you're not on board with Amy Fisher, I got to be honest.
Oh, because of my less than enthusiastic response?
Well, then you said some kind of disparaging remarks about her character.
I don't know that I did there, Zephyr. Not so sure about that, eh? No, what did I say?
I mean, you made it sound like, you know...
I was more questioning.
Right.
Challenging you a little, but that doesn't mean I don't think she would... I thought that could be good, and that she might be good in that role, but at the same time, it may be looked at as stunt casting, and you don't want people to accuse you of stunt casting to try to get attention to your film, but fuck, why not?
This is what I thought. I think she'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd be playing opposite Miley Cyrus.
Okay, so you feel pretty confident you're going to get a Miley Cyrus now. Is that the idea?
I wouldn't say that, Adam. Why are you trying to push me?
I'm not pushing.
I'm saying she's Dreamcast.
Okay. You start with the Dreamcast, right?
Right.
And in a way, a lot of people say, I've already got Miley Cyrus attached, and then you build the rest of your team, and then you say, yeah, Miley Cyrus, that didn't work out.
Last minute.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this same guest that I keep referring to that tried to get me to do an ad does talk about that. So now I've given it away. He does talk about this thing that goes on in Hollywood where people literally will say things like, they'll lie. Yeah, and everybody knows it's a lie. And that's the beauty of it. It's like there's a lie, and then it's told, and everybody's is of the understanding that they're just lying to each other, and it's okay. You know, it's just accepted.
Well, some would call it storytelling.
Okay, but it's kind of very Joseph Heller territory. You know, it's like this kind of weird way of operating. You know, so you have in the Dreamcast,
Adam Chartoff.
I'm sure you can just a cameo.
Hot sex scene with Amy Fisher.
Oh, right, with the Mother Superior.
We open with that.
Okay.
And then
I will show my private parts for that.
And then it's in the middle too.
Another one. Just completely gratuitously. And then
I cut back every 20 minutes to one frame of that.
Lean. Okay.
Sounds like a hell of a movie, no so.
Yeah, for sure. So do you have a producer yet?
Working on producers.
Okay.
I have two right now that I'm going back and forth with.
Mm-hmm. Who's that? No, you can't talk about
can't
that.
Tell.
Yeah.
Kiss and tell.
Can't kiss and tell.
I do like kissing, and I do like telling, but they don't go so well together.
Right. So when would you begin...
Shooting
that, or I guess, I mean...
Ideally, tonight. Like, when you leave, I'd love the cameras to start. I mean, when you're here, actually.
Well, if you can get an Amy Fisher body double, we could do some of the sex scenes and then finish them.
We technically are on Long Island.
For those of you who don't know, we're in Brooklyn right now, and it is part of the same landmass. It's sort of the scrotum, and Long Island would be the... What do you call it?
The shaft.
The shaft, yeah. Wah-wah, wah-wah. Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
John Shaft. It's not who you're going to call, but it's like...
But I like that, though.
But it's something like that in the lyric, right? John Shaft. Yeah. They, it's, I forget the lyric, but it's Isaac Hayes, and then they have the females in the background, and they're like...
Craig Clark at it again.
Craig Clark Chip.
He just needs to be played with. Much like myself, I get bored if I'm not played with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got that. I got a TV show I'm working on. You want to hear about that?
Absolutely. Let's talk about the TV show.
Okay.
He's got it on his...
I'm going to read it to you because it's better that way, because my memory is terrible. You ready?
This for 15 minutes he was calling me Alan, so it's true. It's not true. That didn't happen. Go ahead.
Alan, look.
This is going to be the series that you're going to find on... you can binge watch in about a year from now. On the following platform.
What's the platform? Tell me.
I'm not going to say.
I want you to tell me. Is
okay.
It film Struck?
It's going
to
be on. Struck. Struck.
Struck.
Ruck.
Moonstruck.
I don't think they have series, but I've been watching a lot of.
They will next week.
It's probably true. They put on like Hulu. Bonus things and like little featurettes and things.
Yeah. I like Film Struck.
Me too. I got into a Wim Wenders spiral there. Do you know his films?
No, I've never heard of him. Is he good?
Come on.
Is he good?
You've heard of Wim Wenders. I don't believe that for a second.
It's true. I like Wim Wenders. But I like Fassbender more, if we're going to get weird.
But, no, I know you like Fassbender, but I wouldn't compare them, I guess. I don't know. But I get maybe they were from that whole German wave. Yeah. From that time, right? Is Lena Wertmüller from? But she was in Italy, so even though she's got a German name, she was making films in Italy. Who else? Herzog? Was he from that group? And who else? Anybody else you can name?
It'll come to me.
Anyway, I have early Vin. Is it like a little window? You know, there are pockets of stuff I've missed, or you know, like you think I'd seen just about everything, but there's these pockets, and so finally, I'm watching this Road trilogy that he did when he was very young. You know. Which is, he's known for that movie, Alice in the Cities. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
And then he followed up with Wrong Moves and
Wrong Move.
I just watched it. And then the third one, which I haven't watched yet, is called Kings of the Road.
Oh, like and that they, song.
I think it's King of the Road, but yeah. But he used this one actor whose name is... Fuck, what's his name?
That's a good name.
I just had it, you know. I was looking him up because I'm very interested in things like that. Roy Scheider. Many people don't know he was a German actor before he came to America and made Jaws.
He actually was Klaus Kinski's lover.
You're just ripping here. No, but you know what? You know who's in Wrong Move?
Who?
Nastassja Kinski.
Really?
Yeah, a very very young one, but she's probably like 16 or something. She's, you know, of course. Just beautiful. And, of course, she would make another appearance later on, many years later, in?
Ghostbusters 2.
No, thank you for playing. You get a consolation prize on your way out. No, she was in Paris, Texas, you know.
Yes.
Wim Wenders, possibly best known for Wings of Desire and Paris, Texas, you know.
Maybe Harry Dean Stanton's best film, too.
Yes. It's definitely up there. Definitely up there. You ever see that documentary on him?
I haven't seen the documentary.
Oh, it's really good.
I was thinking maybe Repo Man, though.
I don't remember that. I've seen it, but I saw it so long ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry. No, it's that's why I need
Irish cough.
What's that guy? What's the guy that directed that one? I want to get him on the podcast. He's like an indie film maverick, you know? He's like
Wim Wenders?
No, the guy directed...
Alex
Cox.
Yeah.
Very good. It's been so long since I've seen that. I want to get Alex Cox on this podcast.
Okay. What is actually the best movie that you've seen recently?
It's called Flames. I saw it at Tribeca.
You know, I actually went to the dentist today, and the dentist, I've never had this happen before, but the dentist actually took pictures of my teeth inside and then showed them to me on a screen. Have you ever had that happen?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's disconcerting. You think, oh, my teeth are looking okay.
Yeah.
No, they're not. Yeah.
These aren't x-rays?
Not x-rays.
Okay.
Photos. He took x-rays and photos because he's like, yeah, I want you to look at what's going on in your mouth. I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. No, thank you. Just fix them. That's what I'm paying you for.
And so he took some interesting photos and then showed me and then was like, hey, you see it's kind of jagged here and kind of jagged over there? I was like, yeah. And he's like, what do you think that's from? I'm like, oh, fuck. Right? What have I got myself into? And he's like, you know, what's your guess? And I was like, chewing. And he said, you grind your teeth at night.
Yes. Like, that was going to be my guess.
No, I don't. And so I asked my girlfriend. She's like, no, you don't.
You'd hear it. It's very loud.
Except he said, yeah, sometimes you can do it quietly. And yes, you definitely do, because that's how you get this wear pattern. And then he had me kind of grind my teeth a little bit. I was like, this is the best stuff I've seen in ages.
I wonder
that's
if I do
the
it.
Best movie yeah. I've ever seen.
Roll credits. Right.
What about you, for real? Any great movies that you've seen recently?
Oh.
Other than my mouth?
Well, I mean, are you talking about new films? Or are you talking about...
Fresh off the press.
Fresh new films? Can I cheat? Because, you know, I do get asked that, not infrequently. And it's very hard for whatever reason. I watch, you know, I watch a lot of stuff, you know, of course, at home. But new titles.
See, I'm a cat man now.
Yeah. Well, that's a very sweet cat, you know. A lot of cats are very hard to get close to because they are very, very independent-minded and don't want to be touched when they don't want to be touched. And if you transgress...
It's over.
Indeed.
They'll pee on your pillow. Hey, but please, don't.
Okay, here we go. I do keep track of the films I watch because...
Okay.
You know, I see a lot of them. And I want to always remember if I've seen this, I don't unintentionally watch a movie over. I do see movies over.
Do you have a list where you write some notes about each film?
You know, I don't, but I could. And I have an incredible memory.
You do have a great memory.
I do. So I could actually, although I occasionally do repeat stories, apparently.
Do you?
Well, you know, it's almost unavoidable as you get older, you know, because... It's impossible to remember. And also, I do see a lot of people. You're special, but I do talk to a lot of people. And it's hard to always remember who you talked about something with.
Yeah.
And so, I, you know, it's not the most unusual thing that I might tell an anecdote more than one time. I'm still...
Some would call it consistency.
Yeah, well, that's a nice take. Well, the last new movie I saw was Landline. But
You were underwhelmed by Landline.
I was because...
Because you saw it on the beach with parents and then you got the guilty feeling because children were being sullied.
Oh, I wasn't. No, not guilty at all. In fact, it was more just resentment. Like, parent well. Don't take your children to a movie that, first of all, they're not going to be remotely interested in, first of all. But I think this particular series is a little bit... oddly programmed. They put in a couple of films among all these family films. They inserted a couple of new indie films from Amazon Studios that are kind of like sneak peeks, and they don't belong in the series. That, you know, it's like, oh, this is a series that I know I can take my kids to on the beach on a hot summer night, but then they throw in a couple of, like, it would be like putting Midnight Express and Midnight Cowboy into a series along with, I don't know, and Midnight
along with Frozen.
Yeah, Frozen, exactly. These films, and I haven't seen the other one, which is called Crown Heights, that they're doing in a couple of weeks also, which is another sneak peek. I'm going to try to get a little screener of that because I want to see it. Let's see. Strange Weather I saw, which is a new title.
Good? I've heard about that.
It was okay. It was good. It was nice to see Holly Hunter in something like, you know, where she's the lead actor in it. Weird. I'm looking at titles and I don't remember them. They're about.
This does not bode well.
That doesn't
bode.
I need to keep notes. You're right. But the notes, why? Just I can make these a link to the IMDb page or something.
Yeah.
I
always like notes, though. You know,
yeah.
Like,
but they're not right. That's not your personal notes.
That old man sits on cow. You're like, oh, yeah, great movie.
I'd like to see that one. Well, I enjoyed Snowy Bing Bongs.
That was it good?
Yeah, that was really fun.
The DP Tally? I love working with, Ashley Connor shot that.
Yeah.
Yeah. She spoke very highly of it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to see, so I did enjoy that.
I was out of town when it played, but it was good?
Yeah, I did see it at BAM Cinema Fest, and I'm hoping to bring on the filmmakers and at least one or two, or if not all three, of the Bing Bongs. One of them is a friend of mine, Tally Madell. I've known her for a while.
Tell me what it's about.
It's a sketch show. It's a sketch film. It's all these sketches with these three, it's like a comedy dance troupe, but they do like all sorts of comical sketches.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's really cute. It's fun. I haven't seen something like that in a while. And they're really funny, the girls. They have a great chemistry. I saw the new Sofia Coppola, Beguiled, which I enjoyed.
I thought it was Bejeweled.
No.
It's not Bejeweled?
No, the Beguiled. You never saw the original Don Siegel version, the original?
I did not.
It's something I recommend.
It was pornographic.
No. No. Not at all.
I liked Sofia Coppola's version. I didn't think it was the best movie I'd ever seen, but I thought for what it was.
You saw it?
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Bejeweled.
Me too. Bejeweled. That's what you're going to call it? And I did see The Bad Batch, which was Anna Lily Armour-Poor's new movie.
Was that good? I had heard good things.
It's all right.
It was at IFC, right?
Maybe. I can't remember. I don't see a lot of the movies.
How many movies a week do you see? Let's get into it, Adam Shartoff here.
On average, 10, maybe.
10 movies a week?
Mm-hmm.
In cinema or at home?
No, I can't do that. I occasionally try to get out to some, but I really can't be... It depends on my schedule. Like, if I'm... the problem is each... If I do that, that's a four-hour commitment.
Yes.
Yeah. And I can't... It's hard to do that.
Does movie magic still work for you? Are you transported?
Yeah, I think about that. No, I miss that. I miss that.
And at what point do you
think
there's
a little bit of excitement sometimes.
That you lost movie magic?
You know, I don't know. I just see too many. I see too many. It's at one of the, results of doing something like I'm doing. It's this. I still get excited when I see a movie that works or something that really, and I get very moved at film. You know, I love that. So that hasn't changed at all. But seeing so many as I do, you know, it's and I'm also watching a lot of movies just to see what they're like contextually, what's going on, and so I have a reference of that movie by having seen it, so I know it, so I can talk about it, or like, you know, if I'm watching The Vendors, there might even be a point where I'm not really that tuned in. I'm like, if the best thing about going to a movie theater for me is not the magic, but the complete utter focus that I will give the movie,
right, instead of watching at home.
Yeah, because even movies that I get really into that I watch at home, it's not going to be the same.
Yeah. Craig feels the exact same way.
Craig is in agreement.
Craig is like, look, I love the cinema. I'm a cinemaphile. He would even call himself
cinema feline. What about you? Do you get to the movies?
Cinefeline.
Even better. How frequently do you get to the movies?
Maybe once a week, and that's
not bad.
That's me really trying.
Yeah, you know, right. Making a concerted effort.
That's Zephyr Throwell keeping the whole fucking cinema complex alive.
Well, every day I have tons of screenings that I'm invited to, and many of them I kind of bring people. So, but the main reason I don't often is because I intended to go to a couple. And I just last minute, it's too much time, sure. Or at last minute I decide not to go, and I'm gonna. So.
I agree. Yeah.
No. So I that gives me. Then I'm if I have a plan with somebody, then you know it's harder to have that. I don't have, and then I feel obviously very obliged. The publicist, I usually tell them, like, you know, I'm not going to be able to make it because, so can I go to it later? And the other thing is also I can just get out of there and real fast. I don't have to, it's not a whole thing, you know. So it gives me that also that little bit of the mobility and that I can just run off, do it, whatever I want. I just feel like we're going to have to now talk about the movie and do something else after. Like, so But I do enjoy also going just as much. I also do like sometimes going with people and bringing people with me to the films. I think you'd be a great, fantastic, like a fantastic individual to bring to, you know, a press screening with me on any occasion.
To come to the show.
Yes, please feel, you know, if I can just be a little didactic on this particular occasion. No, I would think you'd be a good partner to go to the screening with, you know.
I'll saddle up.
But it had to be the right thing. Okay. Yeah, let me know, because I get so many, and they're in all over the place, too, like, so different screen everywhere, and some of them are. But the other thing is, recently, of course, you've seen me. I've been having because of Jacob's mother is in a play. So until like this
on Broadway,
ish. Is Lincoln Center considered Broadway?
To me,
I think this is considered to Broadway. Me. Yeah, this particular play. But he's going off to summer camp this Sunday, so that means that my whole schedule will change for the next few weeks. So it gives me a lot more flexibility and independence in that way. We could totally, I'm sure we could have a blast doing that.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I think what we should do is go to films and then immediately after podcast. The film, without talking, right? We don't say anything to each other.
Okay.
We go out onto the curb, city noise in the background, and we give each of us, like, we give the 5-minute recap right off the bat. Like, we just go back and forth. We're like, this happened, this happened, this happened. What do you think, you know?
Are you talking about, like, recapping the synopsis?
Our feelings of it.
Oh, okay, so response to the film.
Yeah. Okay. I would say, like, as if you were to put the crack pipe in your mouth and just hit it and then just babble, right? Mm-hmm. Free jazz for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right there on the curb. Right there on the Persian carpet, Jack.
Outside on Houston, in front of Angelica.
That's not a place that that's an arbitrary example, but it's funny because that's not a theater that would ever have a press screen. Some of them are in
IFC.
Very few. No. Most press screenings take place in specific press screening rooms.
Deluxe.
There have been a couple there. They're more often than not like in Midtown, north, a little north, or just north of Times Square. There's one that's very, it's got, I think, two or three rooms.
There's a one in Tribeca that I know.
Yeah. And there's some in, like, there's a bunch.
Yeah.
They used to have them in the Brill Building, but I don't remember the last time I'd been to one of them.
Brill Building.
Yeah. And you walk in there and you hear Carole King and Dave Geffen and, not Dave Geffen, what is his name?
Burt Bacharach.
Say a little prayer for you whenever and ever. I give you my heart without you.
I never watched that Phil Spector doc.
That was good.
To see it.
Yeah, that's a great one. Oh, yeah. It's great. Yeah, I love that one. That's been a while. That was at the Film Forum. I remember seeing it there. Because you can see sometimes press screenings at Film Forum. That's one of the theaters where they do have them occasionally. They will host some press screenings. It's always on like a Thursday morning, though. It's not, you know, it's that a lot of press screenings are either 10 in the morning or 6 in the evening or, you know, something like that.
Yeah. We're going to do it. Free jazz.
Sure.
Crack pipe, sidewalk, you and me.
Next week, baby. Get right on it.
Well, I'm in Traverse City next week.
No, cancel it.
Michael Moore.
Blake. Michael Moore. Yeah, you know, he doesn't really do anything day to day involved. He's there, I guess, but although I guess he's in the programming committee because he cherry picked Flames. You said,
"What are you gonna do?"
It's great, but Deb Lake, I think, is the person I know that's at the Deb Lake. So plant some seeds for me when you get there.
I will plant the seeds all over the place.
Plant your seeds.
I will spread to Michigan.
Northern Michigan.
I've never been there. You?
Yeah, well, many, many years ago. Traverse City in particular? Or the festival?
No, I've never been either.
Oh, I've been up in the northern. I've been up in the UP.
Mm.
Many.
It's a lot for the you lay folk.
I prefer the just, you know. Yeah, I had somebody on recently who had a film about with a brain injury. Anyway, I said, let's just use the acronym and you know, like, and not include the audience and let them know what we're talking about. So similarly, I would say that about the
UP.
The UP. Yeah, mostly people from that part of the country know what the UP is. But I did go through there, and I don't know that. I think I may have stayed on the UP one night. Anyway, I've been to other points in Michigan over time. So this is three times I've been to Michigan.
Great town. All of Michigan. I have nothing against Michigan. I saw a man get beat to death with a car bumper in Detroit in the 90s. And
what?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I was on a road trip around the country, and I pulled into Detroit, and I didn't know anybody there, and I didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
And somehow I got embroiled in something going on in the street, and I watched a guy get beat to death with a car bumper, and I freaked out.
So somebody took it off of a car? You mean it was not on a car?
It was laying on the street. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, I don't think they chose it as their optimal weapon. It was just large, heavy, and around.
And so somebody killed another person with it?
Yeah.
And you watched that?
I watched, and then I left and called the
police. Then you heard? Oh, and then you heard that?
This was pre-cell phones.
So you had to go to a payphone? Risking?
I went to a restaurant.
Okay.
Yeah. But then I was like, I don't want to go back to Detroit.
Yeah.
And I still feel that way. They're like, it's so cool, it's so cool. I'm like, yeah, a lot of other places are cool too.
Have you seen that documentary, Detropia?
Nope. Why?
You're serious. You're not going back to Detroit. It's good. It's a very good documentary.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Great. I'm sure
from filmmakers
else will
that
like
the filmmakers have been on this this podcast. Yeah. All right. So it's a deal. So your next appearance from Zephyr will. So we're going to just sit on the curb, but it's not. It's going to be off tape. Is that what you're saying?
On tape.
Oh, on tape. Okay.
Yeah.
So now I have to lug my shit around?
Oh, lug your shit around. I love how lazy we've gotten in the aughts.
Well, you know, I have even a more portable version. I have to find it. It's a digital mic, and it has two cables, USB cables. It has one USB cable, I should say. So you can plug it into your laptop and record right into your laptop. And then or it has another cable that goes into the iPhone.
The iPhone's the crazy one, right? I mean, they have...
It goes into the iPhone, but now that I think about it, it goes into the old iPhone.
Hmm.
I haven't used it with this one, so I have to find out if there's a new cable for that. So I can, you know... I always carry it with me. I try to, anyway. Like at festivals, in case I get an impromptu, unplanned type of interview, I have at least something with me.
Yeah.
But I can use just the built-in microphone, too. Yeah. But this is... It's a little bit more...
Yeah.
I don't know what.
You know, seeing pictures of people interviewing at the White House and, McConnell comes out, from Congress or something like that after meeting with the president, whatever. And all the reporters are holding iPhones and they've got them like pointed at his face.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it's so changed.
Yeah. You know, well, I'll say.
It's all different now.
Yeah. Because they're transcribing those people.
Transcribing, or who knows, maybe McConnell slips with something, right? And then they get the next viral post.
Are they videotaping it? Is that what you're saying?
Some videotaping, some just recording.
Because I imagine if they're going to transcribe for a written piece, that's perfect. What do you need anything more involved if you're just going to have it transcribed anyway?
Yeah.
And they're all mic'd also, so it's probably the audio sound. I mean, the volume is probably good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Mitch McConnell, great guy.
Yeah, really great guy.
Leading this country to new things, better endeavors.
Well, every day, it's wonderful.
It's an honor, really, to watch him at the helm of this country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like we really can only go up from here.
What's the relatively new press?
Kim Kardashian?
No, not Kim Kardashian.
She would do a stand-up job.
I would rather watch her
a
do
book
it.
With... quite a thick book, I'd say probably a 3-incher hardback of only selfies of Kim Kardashian through the ages.
Is that true?
Yes, like probably a good 10 years of selfies from Kim Kardashian.
That's a
taken
whole...
by Kim Kardashian.
Well, that sounds like a whole lot of narcissism right there.
It is, and a few friends of mine have really blanched at what a disgusting display that is. But
the thing that topped them, or that
but
was.
Then
the...
I thought, it's really actually kind of a beautiful art piece.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ultimate song of love for yourself, right? That you would put a book out, a hardback book in the age of Instagram, with all the pictures that you took of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a beautiful testament to something.
But don't you see sitting on a subway people, mostly women, who are looking at themselves in their camera?
Sure.
So it's like, you know, are taking selfies all the time. And I'm also surprised by how many people take selfies so frequently.
How often do you take a selfie?
Once or twice a year.
A day?
No, once or twice a year.
Well,
that I post or that I just take?
I think that really this whole
conversation... I take more than that, but I don't post them. I mean, I take once in a while, I'll take just to see how I'm appearing. And then... And then spend some time, of course, oohing and aahing over it. But I don't post them because I would think this would seem incredibly narcissistic to post selfies all the time. Like,
we're taking one now, motherfucker.
No, we're not doing that.
We watch.
Well, that's different because you work in, it's like a, but who is the, what was his name? Applebee? What was the?
Applebee's?
No, Mike Huckabee. Applebee's. He just looks like he eats at Applebee's. Should I take off my headphones?
Why? You're listening to us take selfies.
That's right. Oh, wait, we're on the mic. We're still hot mic.
We took about a good 10 right there.
Okay.
All hits.
That's fine, because it promotes, it's promotional, it's perfect. I keep intending to do it, like, I remember every third or fourth episode to do that. Like,
to take a selfie?
Or get a photo with, like, a guest.
I like the idea of you taking a selfie after you talk to somebody without the guest in the picture. You're like, this is what
me
I look like
having
after
just spoken
I to Jenny Slate.
Yeah. Oh, I'd like to get her on. Or me on her. No, she's... I shouldn't say things like that.
Why? It's what you really
mean. It's untoward.
You really mean.
She's cute. She's very, very pretty, very attractive.
Did you see her in Aardvark?
I don't think I've seen Aardvark.
Aardvark was John Hamm, Zachary Quinto, and her at Tribeca.
Right. No, I did.
She's a therapist.
What?
She's a therapist.
Oh. Is it any good?
Oh.
Does she have straight hair?
Do you think that when I say therapist, you immediately say, oh.
I just don't see it.
Is that?
But I could be persuaded otherwise.
Discombobulated?
Like, that she would be well cast as a therapist, but it's hard to see it. But she seems kind of so young.
I think you could be a good therapist.
That ship has sailed, my friend.
Has it?
I think so.
Isn't that what you're really
doing
just
put
on
my
this
shingle
podcast?
For the people that are guests or for myself? I don't know.
I mean, one shoe wears the other.
And yeah. Well, I guess on some level one could argue that.
I mean, I feel like you're my father figure. My preacher teacher.
That's a slightly sad, but... Just slightly.
I think it's very hopeful.
Well, you're welcome back on.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of this, I can assure you you'll be welcome back. And this idea of doing the post-coital, what's this?
Five-minute blitz.
The 5-minute purge.
Yeah.
Or whatever you want to call it. Like without preparing, just sort of.
Yeah.
Right?
Off the cuff, open the fly.
Open fly. That could be the name of that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sound good?
Yeah.
High five.
All right. Well done.